the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Shunk.
The Huskies got 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Ufer.
He'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is here.
Save it for Missy Ek. Missy Ek. Wraparound attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Shawn Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaleva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Shawn, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, and it is the Joe Shawn Hour here on a Monday morning. We are saluting all the veterans today, as yesterday was Veterans Day, being observed by many today as well. Thanks to all who have served and are serving. And Joe Shawn is with us, head coach of the Hockey Huskies, coming off a sweep. Good morning, Coach. How are you today?
Good morning, Dirk.
Looking forward to talking to you about this past weekend down at Ferris State on that big sweep at in Big Rapids, and of course looking forward to our fifth and sixth non-conference games coming up this weekend at Clarkson in the final two games of this eight-game road swing for Michigan Tech. And congratulations on a great weekend of hockey down in Big Rapids.
It was a lot of fun. It's a great environment to play in, small rink. You learn a lot about your team. You come out of it one way or another, either better. Well, either way, you come out of it better because you learn a lot about your team in that small rink. Not a lot of margin for error. Things happen quickly. They're put together to play well in that rink. They cover, they transition well, they throw things at the net quickly. So you have to be on your toes from the time you step on the ice till the time your shift is done, and I thought our guys did a great job.
It played good, played really well both nights, and I thought a real character win on Saturday night, getting down for the first time on the weekend, being down one and then two goals, 3-1, and coming back and sealing the deal and shutting them down from there.
Yeah, guys, again, a tremendous effort. I think we might have caught Ferris a little bit with, their goaltender, Capel Master, was out, got hurt against Michigan State the week before, and they played a young guy who they like, and I think he's a good goaltender, and he had a good weekend, but they would have liked to have had probably a big time stopper in there with that 3-1 lead to give them those saves and keep them in the game so that they could expand that lead, but we were able to put a lot of pressure on and put pucks in the net, which is, our forwards have done a great job. They've been pretty good all year long, and we were able to put some pucks in the net.
We got two goals early on in that first game on Friday night, and things got going with Trenton Bliss.
Hand it off for Cooper Watson. Watson will take a good hit. Rutkowski turns it over, and the Huskies starting back. Breakaway coming down 2-1-0. Bliss with a shot, and he scores! A minute 13 in on a nice feed on a turnover, and the Huskies lead it 1-0. As Ray Bryce will bring it up now with some good speed. Bryce able to bring it in wide. Bryce with a shot from a bad angle, and he scores! Ray Bryce from the goal line snuck it between Selman Kangas and in. And Ray Bryce is bringing it down and throwing it on net from the corner. Is able to make it 2-0 Michigan Tech.
On the road, boy, if you can get two goals early on in a game like that, it's a great thing. Trenton Bliss with his second career goal at the 1:13 mark on the 2-on-0, and Ray Bryce with a goal that he shot from the goal line and went in the net.
Yeah, two things actually ironic on that on Ray's goal. Number one, we talked about it on the air for those that didn't hear it. We cut our Thursday practice. We didn't cut it short, but we ended the practice when we were doing a D-zone cover drill, and Ray grabbed a puck along the boards in the offensive zone and threw it and scored. He put that one up under the bar, but it was from right against the boards, other end of the rink as this goal, but it was just a bad angle shot, and I pulled everybody together to let them know that, hey, there's a good lesson in that. Let's end it right here, that There's no bad shots in the offensive zone in this rink. Anything can go in. So Ray takes it down the board, down the wall, shoots it from the wall at a basically on the goal line, and sinks it in between the goal post and the goalie's pad and gets us a 2-0 lead. And the other irony on that is it wasn't marked down, but they ran the clock for maybe 3 seconds after that goal went in. That was actually a power play goal, so that would increase our power play percentage, which has been good on the year. You know, we put them out. That was the line that went out to follow up our power play, and they made a nice play. Rockwell got it up to Ray, and he had good speed going down the boards, got into the zone, and again, no shot's a bad shot in the offensive zone in that ring.
Absolutely, and it, what's ironic about that, again, is that they originally called that a power play goal, and then up in the press box, you probably never knew that, but they originally called it a power play goal, then took it away, but it probably should have been, as you said, is that they didn't run down the clock there. So 2-0 at that point. We see Ferris State come back into the game with 2 goals by Moyes.
Bounce inside of the Michigan Tech zone. Trenton Bliss in after it. Bliss with a turnover, pass to the front, and a score! Oh, Bliss turned it over, and the Huskies gave Ferris State that goal. The lead is cut in half. 12:48 left to go in the first period. Nice job by the Bulldogs to convert on that Huskies mistake. Looks to shoot, sends it down low on the right side. Huskies shorthanded for another 55 seconds. Try to hold on to this lead. A shot and a score. Moise again at the back door. Keelan was in the area and just couldn't get to the puck. And we've got a tie hockey game.
Oh, two very different goals, Coach. One on the even strength 5-on-5. The other one on the penalty kill.
Yeah, first one, just a bad turnover. Blisser made a bad read. Should have just kept the puck going. And as we say often, you can get by with the first mistake often. On that one, we had coverage back, even though we turned the puck over. We should have had guys stopped up in front of the net that wouldn't. But again, that's how it is at Ferris State. And it was a good lesson for us to learn that as soon as they get possession of the puck, they funnel to the net, and they have guys around the net all the time. They got another goal later in the game. The last goal they got that tied it in the third, it was a very similar type goal where they just had a guy hanging around, and we didn't get into our coverage quick enough. And that's where you learn. Those are the areas you learn, and you can take it from there and improve your hockey team from that. But we drifted behind the net with a couple of guys, and they had a guy alone in front of the net, and the turnover went a pass directly to the front of the net without any hesitation and a quick deflection in, and all of a sudden it's a 2-1 game. Then again, penalty kill is just, we just have to get this situation straightened out, and it's just too easy to score on us on the penalty kill for a variety of reasons. Now, we did in both games bear down and get great efforts on the penalty kill in the third period. So we're learning as we go, we're improving at it, but we gave up. Ferris went 2-for-2 early on the power play against us in this game. Huntsville scored on their last power play on a weak goal the week before. So 3 straight goals going on the penalty kill against us in 3 attempts, and we just have to get better at that, from competing to blocking shots to sticks and lanes to goaltending to everything. That area has to improve, and that is absolutely a personnel issue. We just have to get guys accountable and to become specialists at the penalty kill. The good teams have guys that have the dynamics to do that. We have it on the power play, guys in the right spot, and our power play is very, very good, but we just need to have guys grow into those penalty killing roles.
All right, so it's tied 2-2. The Huskies then in the first period regain the lead. Tommy Paratino gets the goal, and I believe this was a redirect. Able to stay strong on the puck. Husky center it back to Donahue. Over in front. This one bouncing. Puck and a score! It looks like Paratino might have knocked it in midair, and the referee right away said it's a good goal. It was under the crossbar. It appeared from here, close, but the referee right there, and it looks like Paratino's going to get his second goal, and the Huskies will get a 3-2 lead. That was a power play goal for the Huskies. Lucchini and Seamus Donahue get the assist on it. Nice hand-eye coordination by Tommy Paratino, Coach, and like you had wanted them to do, they were getting pucks to the net.
Yeah, and traffic at the net, which is good. Paratino had a really good weekend for us, as did a number of players. It was a good power play goal, and that's kind of what we did on the weekend. The fortunate thing is that we really had good pushback. Every time the momentum swung, and this is a rink where Ferris can gain momentum, we were able to push back. They tie up 2-2. We get our chance on the power play, and we score and make it 3-2. So we get back in control, settle down a little bit, and continue on.
And then Brian Hallinan gets a goal, even strength from Grayson Reitmeier and Ray Bryce.
Picking it up is Hallinan. Hallinan across the line now, working with a rolling puck, settles it down, tries the wraparound to the front, and taking a shot was Bryce. That one went over the net. Bryce now with it again. His shot scores! Hallinan with the goal! From the left top circle, he just shot a wrister and beat goaltender Salmon Kangas glove side. Hallinan with his second tally of his career. Huskies go up by a score of 4-2.
So a nice goal there by Hallinan. And we asked him after the game why he didn't try one time in it. And he said the ice wasn't as good as he wanted it to be. But then as I was asking him, Reitmeier, who gave him the pass, said, just you could admit that it wasn't the perfect one-timing pass. And that's kind of what it was, I think.
Yeah, and he stopped it. And then, but he had enough time. Again, we it was very similar to the Ferris State first goal. We had a good forecheck, good forechecking pressure, great pursuit on it, got possession of it, and Brian Hallinan doesn't drift. He has a nose for sticking in hard ice, and he stops in the slot and waits, positions himself, gets the puck, settles the puck down, and then made a really nice shot. So, and he has a heavy shot. So, we have a lot of guys that like to do a lot of those things too, spend time in hard ice. That was something last year that we talked about a lot, that we needed guys to spend more time in hard ice. We have some guys now this year that through learning last year, for one, and just naturally, innately like to be there for two, and they're getting rewarded with points. We're scoring some goals, but Brian likes to be in that hard ice, and it starts with a really good move, a power move down the wall by Brian, right-handed shot, takes it down the wall, takes it behind the net, and tries a jam play with two guys standing at the net, and then we pursue that puck into the corner and get pressure on it. So it was, our second two-goal lead of the game. We weren't able to hang on to it. But again, that's Ferris State's rink. Changes in leads, things happen, and I wasn't. We're more concerned in this game with the quality of play and less the result.
The Bulldogs do come back. Jason Tackett and Jason Fernsler tie it up. A great goal by Jason Fernsler that was redirected in from basically chest height. Or maybe waist height, and was able to get it in. That tied the game up 4-4, but Justin Misiak makes a play. And boy, did he ever to give the Huskies the lead.
Noble will take it across the line. Nice pass there for Misiak. He's in. Shot scores! Justin Misiak with the goal! Noble with the pass to the front, and Misiak somehow found a way to have enough time to get it, and he is so good in tight quarters. Huskies regain the lead 5-4.
Just a great play by Noble, the only assist on that, capitalizing on a turnover like that, Coach. And what was so impressive, not only that goal, but just shutting them down in that third period. Just two shots on goal.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the first game here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First game. Noble made a great play on this, and I believe Lucchini was driving the net. I'm not 100% positive on that. But a big part of that was that Noble drew the coverage, which is something we've been working on, actually. And he drew the coverage and slid a nice pass over as he got his defender outside in support ice. Misiak was coming down inside the dots, was able to get the pass, and then it was a quick two-on-one, which backed everything in. The goaltender couldn't come out and be as aggressively because our second player joined that rush. And then and the goaltender had to play it tighter in the crease. So and Justin Misiak made no mistake on it. A nice play and a big goal for us. And then from that point on, we were very good.
Yeah, really good. And shutting them down the rest of the way. The 11 shots in the third period for Ferris State, 7 for Michigan Tech, but we outshoot them overall 31-27 in the game. And we were should have been 2-for-4, right, on the power play?
Yeah, we had two. They didn't count the one, but we had a couple power plays.
And
goals.
They were 2-for-4 on the net.
Paratino's was a power play goal as well.
That's right. All right, we'll take a break. Be back with a little bit more. Right now it's... Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. We just recapped the Friday night win for Michigan Tech, 5-4. Now we look for Saturday night. The Huskies were going for the sweep. And I just got to say, Coach, Jake Lucchini, I think playing his best hockey of his career right now. He is just really, really looking good out there.
Yeah, it's great to watch him play hockey. You know, I'm going to miss him terribly. He brings so much excitement, so much energy. The smile is contagious. You know, that toothless smile that he's always had, and you know, he never wants to wear his teeth. He's that line has been great. Stamen is great on it. Luch wanted to go back to the wing. feels more comfortable on the wing, and that was a change we made last year that took off for us when we moved L'Esperance to center, and now Joel is having a good career in the American Hockey League. He's going to get a chance to play in the National Hockey League, it's my firm belief, but we moved him to center, and he's playing center and doing a good job in Texas in the American Hockey League, and to put Luch on the wing with him, with Gould, and that was a great line for us, and we needed to develop some depth at center and do some things to this year early, and we got through that, and now we got Luch back on the wing and just taking off. I'd be surprised if he didn't get Offensive Player of the Week this week.
Yeah, he had 2 goals and 3 assists on the week, and we'll get to his 2 goals in just a moment. But Tommy Paratino, a downstate native, of course, had a lot of family in the stands over the weekend, and he scored first on Saturday night.
And picked up by the Huskies, and this is Smith. Smith forwarded up for Gavin Gould. Gould coming across for Smith. He walks in, can't get the shot off, and a score by Paratino, who was just standing right there at the corner of the net and just nudged it in. And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
Nice play there by the Huskies, and Paratino in the right spot, right time, and he made it count.
Man, and listen to the crowd. We had more people there. No disrespect to Ferris, but that was a home game for us in a lot of ways with the crowd. It was, and looking across, we could see all the jerseys and got Misfits in their stripes and everything. It was I like listening to the crowd. That's a big thing for me on the road to see where we're at.
We were up 1-0, but then Ferris State puts a push on and they tied up.
Zach over to the right side. Norris back up top. Norris will shoot. Scores! Oh, what a nice play by Norris. As Callen sends it over, Norris is right on the dot, and he still found a way to get it over there. That's the saves that Jerusik has been making, but a really nice one-timer by the big number 10.
Well, what did you think about that one, Coach? It looked like Jerusik had gotten over there in time.
Yeah, it went through him. We were he got there, and you know they're gonna get shots. And those are saves that we want to have, and to be absolutely honest. And I think Matty would like to have that one back. I don't think he got all of it on the shot. I think it kind of had a little flutter to it. But it found net, and it tied the game.
They scored again in the second period on 4-on-4 play at the 106 mark.
Passed over now for Swire, who was hollering for that pass. Lucchini will go to the bench. Swire turns it over. Huskies are in trouble here. Possible 2-on-1 as Bliss trying to get back in time. Zek will drop it to the late man in. Frenzer with a shot, and he scores! Oh, you can see that coming from a long ways away. And the Bulldogs, for the first time this weekend, have a lead 2-1.
So what was going on there, Coach, that we just didn't seem to have the proper coverage going on in that rush?
We got a little bit away from our schemes, and what happened is they were outmanning us on the puck. Their compete level went up after we got the first goal of the game, and you know you're trying to beat a team on the road for the second time, you know, in their building, and they had a good pushback, so they had a couple of things going for them. They were outworking us at that point, outcompeting us, and they were beating us to second men on the puck. And with that, we started drifting a little bit, and they were more deliberate. They turned it right back up into us into an odd man rush, and we had to adjust around that and then start establishing ourselves again, which our guys did.
So we go on a 5-on-3 penalty kill, and this gives Ferris State a 2-goal lead.
Got to win the draw.
13:46 remaining in the period. Callen will control up top for the Bulldogs. 5-on-3 advantage. Zek for Callen, a score. One-timer, good puck movement from Zek to Callen, and it's a 2-goal lead for the Bulldogs, and still a minute 51 left on the power play.
So we gave up that goal, Coach, 5-on-3, shorthanded, but I thought it was really important. There was still a lot of time left in that second penalty that we didn't give them another shot at that.
Yeah, our guy, and we didn't give them anything. We didn't even give them a sniff after that on the power play. Our guys did a great job on the kill. I think our guys realized on the bench, like, this is enough. You know, pucks are going in easy. That puck was a one-timer from the top on the 5-on-3. It wasn't a side-to-side movement or anything like that. And, again, I thought it went through Matty. He's in position. It went through. I thought he was fighting the puck a little bit. We weren't giving up a ton. It wasn't like they at any point were buzzing us and doing things. Just the good shots they were getting were going in the net. So I think the guys took it upon themselves. Our bench has been very quiet. We talked about that at Huntsville. We're trying to let the leadership take control of things. I think we're going to be a lot better when that happens. We'll grow more when accountability comes from within. And And it did. Dylan Stamen stood up, and Jake Lucchini stood up on the bench and said, "Fellas, this enough is enough, and it's, you know, let's play this game." And they did. We got through the kill. We didn't give up anything, and then quickly again we pushed back. We waited till the kill was over. I didn't want to put Robbie. My intent was to put Robbie in after the third goal, but I didn't want to put him in with 2 minutes, basically a power play left, and have him get in and have to face that right off the bat. So we waited till that power play was over, which basically came to probably the midpoint of the game. And we had a TV timeout,
a
media timeout, and we waited. But Robbie knew for a good couple minutes, 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes, that he was going in. And we put him in there, and he made a couple of big saves in the second, and only had to make a couple. And we were scoring goals, and all of a sudden, the momentum changed, and we started doing the things that we need to do, which is having a great, great presence around the puck. Our forecheck got much more tenacious. Our defensive gapping was good. Everything, you know, we were coming back and transitioning the puck, and we were able to take momentum over, which was good to see the group of guys pull together and get through that, and then build on that into an absolutely outstanding third period, our best period again for the second week in a row. Best period of the weekend was our third period on Saturday night.
Well, it really was, and with the media timeout, you give that opportunity for Robbie to stretch out a little bit more, get comfortable in his crease, than having to just go right in and drop the puck.
Yeah, it worked out, and that was the intent of doing it, and to get him in there. And again, I thought Matty fought the puck a little bit on Friday night. I didn't think it was a game where he would have, or, you know, you'd want your goaltender to give up four goals either. But again, tough rink to play in, and I really wanted to see where he was at, where his game was at. My intent going into the weekend was to start him in both games, regardless of Friday night, what went on Friday night, to see where Matty was at, because I knew it would be a tough environment. What was his, you know, where he was at? Is he, you know, how far along is he for us?
So we're down by two, and, you know, just don't have really anything going on. And as you said on the bench, the leader's taking over, and one of those leaders being, well, you got Jake Lucchini, Dylan Stamen, and then Jake Lucchini on the goals. Jake Lucchini factors into all three goals here to give the Huskies the lead.
And up now for Lucchini, protecting the puck. Lucchini, good poise right there. Got it down low. Huskies have numbers down low. In behind the net now is Smith. Back up top. Here is Donahue. Over one-timer. Scores! Yes, that is Lucchini on the one-timer. And he just blew that one through goaltender Solomon Kangas to give the Huskies a power play goal. Huskies win the faceoff. Shot from the point. Save there. Rebound for Stamen. Scores! Dylan Stamen ties the game! Spins around at the top of the circle, in between the circles, actually, and buried it right on the ice, and the Huskies, like that, have tied this game up 3-3. Behind the net, Cooper Watson able to get it to the wing, and the Huskies will break it up. Here comes Stamen now. Stamen at center ice. He's got Bliss with him. Bliss hollers for it, gets it. Bliss now trying to maneuver at the blue line, sends it towards the goal, looking for a rebound. Scores! Jake Lucchini scores! And Huskies take the lead on a rebound off of Solomon Kangas, and he banged it home. And the Huskies lead at 4-3 with 5:14 left to go in the period.
You know, Coach, just looking at that last goal there, that go-ahead goal, Bliss was so good up by the blue line there. I mean, a lot of freshmen wouldn't have the poise to handle that puck where he handled the puck and then make the kind of a lob towards the net just to see what happened.
Yeah, a lot of plays that he makes are man, you know, big, strong man plays. He's a big guy with good hands. The biggest thing he's going to have to do is continue to work on making plays with his feet, moving and attacking, but he can make a play, and he did make a play and sprung us in there, and it's great to see Stamen get on the board. He works so hard. It's great to see him get some points on the board, and again, Lucchini just does what he does. He's going to be a good pro. Luch is going to make a, because he brings so much outside of the game to a team. And then what he brings on the ice is obvious. So he's going to be a great pro. He'd be a guy that I'd love to have. I'd love to coach at a higher level. I'd certainly take him.
You and I talked a little bit about this after the game on Saturday night, Coach. But can you tell us, was he in better shape this year coming in? I mean, he's always been really good, but it just seems like his endurance is incredible. The battles that he's going has along the boards usually would, you know, that usually gasses you, and he gets out of those and he's still going for another 30 seconds. Crazy.
Yeah, well, certainly there's oftentimes not a ton you can do. You know, you work on it all the time. You work on skills, you work on improvement, but The improvement you make skill-wise is secondary throughout a college career, I think. Obviously, you get experience, which helps in learning what you can do and what you can't do. But it's secondary to what the gains you can make as an athlete. The gains that Tyler Shalas can make with these guys from the time they come in as freshmen, if they're committed to developing their bodies, till the time they leave in both strength and power, which is you know, speed and strength combined. And that's what Luch has become. He's become a better athlete. I mean, he came in as a beanpole with a lot of energy, and now he's an athlete that can, you know, that's gained that strength and can play with men and do the things that he can do. Like, he used to tire. And then a big worry used to be using him on both the power play and the penalty kill, because you're using him too much and he loses effectiveness. Especially on Saturday nights. That was always the thing we talked about with him, is that we talked about as a staff, that we have to conserve his energy levels on Friday, which means you're not using him as much as you could, just based on that. So he's in there. He's winning battles now. He's developed man strength on in his competitive level. So it's certainly helping his game.
So the Huskies go on to the win. They hold on, again, only giving up two shots in that third period. They get 10 shots on goal themselves. 33-23, the final shots on goal. Huskies ended up 1-for-7 on the power play. Ferris State 2-for-6. And really, the only thing, from a fan's point of view, is like you had mentioned, we need to shore up that penalty kill.
Yeah, it's an area that is more than a concern, because, again, it just happens too easy. And you know, you're looking for specialists on that. We dressed TJ Poglace on Saturday night, and he did a good job for us when he went in on the penalty kill, because we're looking for guys that'll get you in the lineup alone if you can do a job for us on the penalty kill. And that goes from, you know, from goaltending on out, is that, you know, they're going to get shots. You know, you got to fight for the pucks in the net to start with. You have to make the first save, especially when they're the shots that you're going to, from perimeter areas up from the outside, which you're going to give up. You're going to give up something. You know, they're going to find something. And if you look at, like, this year, the goals that we gave up to both Duluth and to Wisconsin, which were shots through screens and things like that. There were shots where we didn't get blocks, and they were perimeter shots. We've only given up one on the power play that was, well, we've given up two now. The one against Huntsville that went off of Cooper Watson's skate and went into the net on their last power play in the third period. And then the second goal on Friday night, where they found the backdoor seam, where Todd Killian got tied up a little bit in front of the net, and they threw a seam pass in front of it. Those are the only two goals that have come around the net. The rest of them are coming from the perimeter, which are shot blocking and stopping. And on top of that, the things that go into it are being able to hold a line, force 50-50 pucks, or better percentages for us on zone entry, where we create pressure and don't allow clean zone entry, where we can at least compete and battle for the puck to get clears, which takes time off the clock. It's all percentages. And then the second thing is hunting loose pucks when they do get shots, when they don't go in or you get blocks or things like that, hunting loose pucks and beating them and getting numbers on that puck as quickly as you can, so that you can win a battle and get the puck out, which again is killing time for you and allowing you to get changes on personnel and get fresh guys out there and rotate things around. So there's a lot that goes into it, and we're looking for guys that are good in those facets and have a complete understanding of penalty killing. And we've been battling that. There's no question. We've been battling that we've only had two, from the time Tanner Carroll left, that have been really good at it. And we say it, Sturros and Neville did not get scored on. Everybody else we put out there got scored on when they were here, but they didn't get scored on, and they had a couple of really good D with them. When you have Matt Roy and Shane Hanna and move Leibinger back to D, and you got, you know, Cliff Watson, who's a shot blocking machine. So, you know, a lot of it is guys taking pride in that and realizing how important penalty killing is and being willing to learn it and study it and get really good at it.
All right. Well, a big weekend for the Michigan Tech hockey team. They sweep Ferris State 5-4, the final 4-3, the final on Saturday night, and the Huskies had a nice ride home after that. They'll get ready for Clarkson, and we'll talk about Clarkson later on in the show. Right now, we'll take a break, and when we come back, some of your questions for Head Coach Joe Schaan. It's the Joe Schaan Hour on Mix 93.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawrence today or call us at 906-524-6330.
It's Rainy Fish Tacos. From out of the sky, Joey's Tacos. No need to ask why. Put them in your mouth and close your eyes. It's Rainy Fish Tacos. Joey's Fish Tacos. Joey's Fish Tacos. Rainy Fish Tacos. I love fish tacos.
Get your fish taco for $2.99 at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
Rainy Fish Tacos. It's Rainy Fish Tacos at Joey's.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues, advanced tech body repair.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... Ahem! A message from the king and his new trumpeter, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Waiteth until the end, Stephen! With game day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Go! Oh, dilly dilly!
Enjoy responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Hey, we've got some questions for Coach Sean. If you have one, you can still get it into us. So we'll get going here because we have quite a few. A couple of these were accidentally held over from last week. With the new rule to dress an extra player each night, what has fed into your decision, Coach, on whether to dress an extra D or an extra forward?
Two things. The first would be the fact that we've earnestly been trying to develop a young defensive core, so all the minutes that we can get, all the time on ice we can get out of those guys, go into their development. So that's a big deal. But more importantly is that it's easier to cover. Like, if you lose a D and go down to five, it leaves you vulnerable because you get a guy in the penalty box, all of a sudden you're playing four. Fatigue becomes a big factor then. Having that extra D in there, especially if he's a guy that can do something like penalty kill for you, but maybe not be the most offensive guy, it keeps you in your depth perspective. It keeps you at your allotment of forwards and your allotment at D. It's easier to rotate forwards around. Ideally, what I'd like to have, and we've actually been talking about this in our recruiting, is someone like a Chris Leibinger who could play both. If you happen to go short up front, the player could play forward for you, go in there and do a job for you. And if you go short on defense, he could go in there and do a job for you. So ideally, that's what we'd like. We don't have that right now. It's completely on for developing the D and making sure that we have our full contingent back there, even regarding injury.
Next question for Coach. You've already touched on this a little bit, but will there be any special attention in practice this week on the penalty kill, both technique and players used?
Always. There always is. We do more video on our penalty kill and more teaching than on any other part of our game. So, yeah, maybe too much, but that's not true. We're going to work on it. We're going to give more reps in practice for sure to that. And actually, what we're going to start doing is doing some before and after stuff and try to break down each of these fundamental areas, such as retrievals and things like that, and just go right from the skeleton of it and work our way out and see if we can't develop some young guys into being very, very good at that position.
Yeah, they elaborate a little bit here too. Are there any concerns on some of the dumb penalties? It doesn't seem like we've taken many bad penalties this year. Just maybe ill-timed penalties, like setting this down on that 5-on-3.
That was, you know, marginal.
Yeah.
Marginal call at best on that, in my opinion. And that's not being critical of the officiating. That's, I mean, two guys that go into each other backwards. Yeah. It's hard to make a call on that. And, but I think our discipline, we're, you know, if you look at us, we're right next to the bottom, and within hundredths of a percentage point of being least penalized. Mm-hmm. The only real, Andrew Blount's taken a couple penalties that have been, retaliatory in nature, and it's cost him ice time for sure. So, but we knew that he was going to be, you know, he needed to be controlled coming in. We talked about it many times. So, but other than that, we're not overly penalized. We just give up goals.
Next question. There have been a few personnel we have not seen much of lately. Is this due to an injury or eligibility issue or the coach's determination of performance? And I'm guessing you're talking about Blount. They're probably talking about Blount and some of the guys we haven't
seen. Maybe Buckley, yeah.
And
I don't, I believe every guy in our roster has played. I don't think there's anybody that hasn't played. Now Robbie Badoon's played close to a full game of time as well in relief. So we've used our depth. We've used everybody. I think the decisions that we're making are showing. I think we're holding guys accountable, and we're getting guys in there to let guys know it doesn't matter who you are. You know, you have to perform. And, you know, again, people don't like that, but that's what athletics is about. You know, athletics is not about entitlement. It's about earning your way. And trust me, I want a group of athletes, including myself. You know, we judge ourselves and evaluate ourselves as a staff all the time. And that's, you know, I want the guys to be disappointed if we're not doing things the way that we preach, which is you know, if you're the best player in practice, you should be playing regardless of who you are, regardless of what that does to a goaltender rotation, regardless of what that does to seniors who have played, you know, or if you know, you get a little latitude. Like I said, my intent this weekend was going and play Jurusik both games. For that reason, I left Devin Carroll at home and talked to Devin Carroll and said, Devin, my plan is to play you a game at Clarkson. I want you to get a great weekend of work in and take a lot of shots and work on every part of your game, because I've done that in the past. I've been that guy that's been left home to say, okay, we're using you here. Before goaltending situations were stabilized, we're going to use you here. Get yourself ready. Back when we didn't have goaltending coaches and things like that. But I wanted him to get as many shots and get as ready as he could, because my intent was to ride Jurusik this weekend and see what we had in that position with him, because he's given us some good games, but it's still you're uncertain as to where he's actually at, because he wasn't overly tested against Huntsville, and he had one good game and one not so good game against Wisconsin. So, you know, we want our guys to know that it is an ongoing fluctuating situation based on performance and your ability to perform and grow. And when you're a guy like Ray Bryce, or you're a guy like Noble, who go in the lineup, and we're getting balance from every line. Every single line we have is contributing. What more can you ask for? Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not going to take guys out of the lineup just to appease anybody. You know what I mean? If a guy deserves to play, regardless, and if we feel the guy deserves to play, I want it to be a situation where I lose credibility with our players in the locker room if I don't play them that way. Like, and I certainly don't want where you have a situation where you have upperclassmen telling other guys, don't put, hey, you're making us look bad, or make them feel that way. You're making us look bad. You know, that's brutal what you're doing. You know, don't do that. That's not how we do things here. I want it to be, your job is to push us to make us better. You're not pushing us hard enough to make us better. And if a senior is getting outperformed and getting outplayed, then he doesn't deserve to be in the lineup. You know, he needs to work and maintain that spot. And our job is to recruit better, to push that depth. You know, we said before, you put Hayden in the lineup and he takes a senior spot. You put Malcolm Gould in the lineup, he takes a guy's spot. You put Blake Hedlund in the lineup and he took a guy's spot. You know what I mean? These guys deserve, if they're given it And if we're telling them, give it when you're not in the lineup, we're running them through drills. We're going, I mean, take a guy's spot. And when they do it, they do it. You know what I mean? So there is no entitlement in athletics. I don't think there's any room for it. And I don't think there's a lot of room for it in life in general. But certainly in athletics, I don't want to be a part of a program that's just, gifting opportunity.
Next question for you, Coach, is about Seamus Donahue and the way he's ramped up his play in the last couple of weekends. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on Seamus's play?
Well, there you go with what you're talking about. I've been challenging Seamus right from day one on his aggressiveness, on because he's got the talent to be tremendous. He had to quit avoiding confrontation and quit trying to protect. Protect himself and things like that, and he had to get a little bit more reckless. We didn't have him on the power play. We weren't using much on the penalty kill. He was dressed as an extra defenseman at one point, and he's responded to that. So, my hat's off and full credit to him. He's leading a defensive core now, which is what he should be doing. He's extremely talented. He's got everything that we ask for in a hockey player. He's making plays now. He's doing things he needs to do. He's doing a great job on the power play. I think he needed to up his focus and his attention to detail, and he's done that, and we're the benefactors of it. So he's a perfect example of what I just talked about, in that you're not going to be gifted time because you're one of our few returning players, and you had a pretty good year a year ago. I don't want to hear, well, you know what I'm capable of. I want to hear, Coach, I'm doing it. I want to be able to look at a guy and him look me in the eye and I got your back, and son, you have my back too.
We'll take a break. More of your questions coming up in just a little bit. It's the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way. Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your one-stop shops for all things authentically Michigan Tech. Our stores offer fresh and sporty Michigan Tech apparel, souvenirs, and unique gift options. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Email campusstore@mtu.edu to join Husky Deals and be the first to know about our sales, promotions, and new offerings. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. Warning, shopping the University Images in the Campus Store may cause smiles, happiness, elation, customer satisfaction, and or accolades from friends and family.
Questions about your retirement deserve more than just a call center. Hi, I'm John Nelson, your Houghton Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Let me show you the difference personal attention can make when it comes to your goals. Contact me today, 906-482-8680. That's 482-8680. Personal attention, that's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikula
and Jeff Mikish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock, or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are going through your questions today. Coach, were you in favor of the idea? Here's the next question. Coach, were you in favor of the idea of Arizona State joining the WCHA? And do you think that is still a possibility that may come up again?
I don't know about the possibility. I know that they're rolling right now. They're doing a good job.
Yeah.
I believe they swept Michigan State this weekend, so they're doing a They beat Penn State last weekend, so they're way up in the pairwise, so they're doing an excellent job as a program. I think there's conferences waiting to see if their commitment level. This will probably drive some of their commitment level, the success they're having on the ice. I'm in favor of them, yeah, being in our league. I think they're a good draw for our league. If that were to come up again, I'm not sure how much they want to be in our league. I'm not sure where that is. I'm not on that side of it. That's Dr. Sandberg's responsibilities to be on the executive board and things like that. So, but I'm in favor of it, and we are looking at games again with them. So it was interesting to listen. They had those guys on a radio broadcast talking a bit about the deal that happened here last year. And,
yeah,
you know, you could see more and more how that looked like a whole setup deal. That, you know, So, anyways, it's kind of interesting on the whole thing, because it, you know, that whole ordeal didn't make a whole lot of sense to me looking at it, but I'm in favor of them if they were to be in the league. I think they're a good draw. We draw well down there. Certainly would like to go down into that sunshine, you know, every January if that was an opportunity. So yeah, I would be for it.
Next question: Keegan Ford is listed as a senior coach, and this listener said, he thought that he still had 1 year of eligibility remaining after this year. What is the correct stance there for Keegan Ford?
He's a senior eligibility wise, so this as it stands right now is his last year, and we're recruiting accordingly.
Next question for Coach: what kind of a team is Clarkston, and do you know if they're more of an up and down or defensive type of team?
Both. They play it both ways. KC does a great job with them. They're defending ECAC champions. They have the tradition now. In honesty, yesterday was to start the prep work on them, but I have computer issues going on with the system, so I wasn't able to get at their video yesterday. So we'll look more at it. But traditionally, they do skate. They do have size up front. Dunn's done a great job for them, freshman that we recruited hard out of Green Bay that played with Bliss. He's done a great job. He gives them size and strength up the middle, so they do have size, and traditionally they have good goaltending. So we'll get to work as soon as I get back in the office and get our computer stuff straightened away. We'll get to work on them. We've been focusing on we usually start our prep work a week on that, but we had some computer issues getting some of that film.
They lost their first two games to Penn State at Penn State, 4-3 and 5-1. Then they went on a four-game winning streak, beating Wisconsin, beating Holy Cross, beating Canisius, beating Rensselaer, and then lost the last two games, fell to nationally ranked Union at the time, was 17th. By a score of 3-2, and then lost over the weekend by a score of 6-3 to Canisius. So a team that definitely, you know, obviously a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, they play. They're 1-1 in conference. They'll be right there, home ice at the end of the year. They have a good staff. They added Brent Brecky on their staff that's been in Miami, a tremendous hockey coach. Casey's done a good job of reestablishing that program there. Casey Jones, good guy. Our fans will get to see them in our building next year, which I'm happy for. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, another environment that makes us better. Another road trip that we're growing on, and we want to come out of this with some success. But it starts with playing well.
All right, quick time out. Be back with more right after this. It's the Joe Schein Hour on Mix 93.
Two things go hand in hand in the Copper Country in November. That's the hunting season and Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. All 7-Up 20-ounce products are only 99 cents. Stay hydrated at the camp with Powerade and Gatorade deals. Bucko's has hunting licenses, bait deals, and Keweenaw alpaca gear. Football Sundays, deer season, Thanksgiving, many reasons to get your party started at Bucko's in Calumet. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories? Or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading? Or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
Now at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet. Purchase a $6 bundle, which includes a 7-quart drain pan, Scott's shop towels, multi-purpose funnel, and Gojo hand cleaner. Offer valid through November 28th at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place.
The Caliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Caliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
Well, Coach, one more question here for you. What will be the travel arrangements for the Huskies as they head out to take on the Golden Knights of Clarkson?
We're heading out on Thursday morning, flying out on Thursday morning. Buses going out with our equipment on Wednesday, so we'll get a good skate in on Thursday out there, and we'll go from there. I do want to make sure that I congratulate Sam Hoyt on her first victories as head coach of the women's basketball team. Great job by them, and off to a great start. Luker's team, the men's basketball team, won yesterday. Congratulations to them as well on their first win of the year.
Yes, and to Matt Jennings, who they lost that semifinal match down there at Big Rapids during our game on Saturday, but they did get a bit into the
NCAA. Oh, perfect. Where did they go? What were they seeded?
They'll take it on Drury now, I believe.
Do you remember what they got?
Fifth ring? Seed.
Fifth, good.
Fifth
good.
Seed
good.
In the region, so congratulations to Coach
Jennings. Yeah,
what great a great
year.
Season.
Oh, great season.
You just hope it doesn't end right now. You just want it to keep going for them.
Yeah, well, it will. They'll do a good job. It's, you know, these are areas to learn. You have to go through some adversity and come out and get some rhythm going.
Coach, you wanted to get your thoughts on some of the other WCHA teams that were in action over the weekend. You look at Friday night games, Lake State with a
overtime loss.
With an overtime loss, a double overtime, so it goes down as a tie. They were down 3-0 on their home rink there, and they were able to get three goals to tie it up there in the third period.
Yeah, it looked like that series kind of was the same opposite ways. Like on Saturday night, they went up 3-0 and gave up four to take the loss, and then on Friday they were down 3-0 in the third and came back and got the point out of it. So, good hockey team. They're going to be excellent. That says a lot for the Fairbanks. That was their head coach's first win, I believe. For the team, so good for them. We want our depth to be good in our league, and it's important. So, but I know Lake State is good. They have goaltending. They have defense. They have good scoring, good forwards up front. So they'll be battling the entire year.
I remember a long time ago with the Huskies, well before you were on staff, coach. We played down at Mankato to a 0-0 tie. Bowling Green and Anchorage played to a 0-0 tie on Friday night, and then Bowling Green got the extra point.
Yeah, and Anchorage took it to them. Bob Daniels says Anchorage is a good team. They just got done, or they played them earlier already in Ferris. He says that they're good. They're going to win some games. They outplayed Bowling Green, it sounded like, significantly through the first at least half of the game. And I was following that on my because it was a late game and couldn't sleep after doing video on Friday night. And then Saturday it looked like Bowling Green was, you know, Bowling Green, I don't think they gave up a goal on the weekend. So they pitched double goose eggs. They're legit. They're a good hockey team, and they scored an overtime goal on Friday to win a 0-0 game. And now was that double overtime, 3-on-3, if I'm right. So
right.
Anchorage got a point in that game.
Correct.
Bowling Green got two, and then it went to and then Saturday Bowling Green took three in regulation.
Northern Michigan not able to come away with the win against a good Cornell team, 3-1 and 3-2.
Yep, they're going through some building right now, but we know with the talent level that they have, and a lot of what they're taking right now is non-conference. So in conference play, they'll be good, and they'll be right there. They'll be a home ice team at the end of the year, I'm sure.
Bemidji State in non-conference play scored a lot of goals. on Friday against Merrimack, 8-3 with the victory for the Beavers. But Merrimack with a nice win on Saturday night at Bemidji State, 1-0.
But the shots on goal heavily favored Bemidji. Bemidji's good as well. We're four games in right now. It's going to be of 28 conference games. It's going to be a great league. It's going to be fun. Every night's going to be important. It's going to go right down to the end.
And the Huskies will be back home after next weekend for Thanksgiving weekend. So remember, that is the 23rd and 24th. And the Copper Country Strong game will be the 23rd, where the special uniforms will be worn. And I know they're already using those uniforms to make some money and raise some money for such a great cause. And if you haven't seen the video yet that Cal Larson has put together online, it's not very long. It's very heartwarming, gives you, makes the hair in your arms stand up, and it's pretty cool. So check it out online and go to MichiganTechHuskies.com. But not looking past this weekend, but it will be nice to be home, Coach.
Oh, it'll be great. I think Laura said, it's been a long time, maybe 10 years. It's been a long time since I've been home on a Thanksgiving. We're always on the road, and for good reason, because being at home during Thanksgiving, that's a big weekend of hunting camp.
Right.
So now, good, we got some snow. There'll be, hunters will be able to track. That's good. Be able to track their wounded animals and be able to, get their harvest, which is great. Hopefully, the first week goes well, so that some people will be coming in and enjoying some great hockey on the second week of it. We haven't been here since I've been here during this weekend. We're usually up in Alaska,
right,
on a two-weeker, which is always a good learning curve for our team as well. So, but it's going to be great to be home. It's going to be great to show the fans the growth of the hockey team, the supporters. I don't like calling them fans, because I really feel like they're part of us. They're the way they travel and everything. They're integral for us. So I don't really like calling them fans. I just like calling they're an extension of our team. So it'll be great for them to share in and get to see us at home.
Thanks for all your questions. Thank you, Coach, for your time here today. Congratulations on the two sweeps in a row, and let's do it again. We'll be live Friday and Saturday night from Clarkson, and non-conference games will be at 7:07. 6:30 pregame can be heard here on Mix 93. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.